Streaming and serving out of Fayetteville, Georgia, you are listening to the New Vision Church podcast, a community to belong, be loved, and believe. Let's check out today's message.
Are you ready for the word of God today?
Yeah.
One day, a pastor had a dinner at the home of a couple in his church. After he let the wife said to the husband, after the pastor went, "I think he stole our spoon." This bothered her for a while. A year later, the couple had the pastor for dinner again. Unable to resist, the wife asked, "Did you steal our spoon last year?" The pastor replied, "No, I put it inside your Bible." So as you can see, the pastor put the spoon in the Bible. Since she never found the spoon and it was in the Bible, more than likely she wasn't reading her Bible for last 1 year. She would have found her spoon if she was reading her Bible. I encourage you all to read the Bible every day. And yesterday, as I'm coming to a prayer meeting here in New Vision Church, Brother L was listening to the Word of God. I really appreciate Pastor George for his wonderful ideas and encouraging the believers to read the Bible every day with the audio. And I would like Pastor George also, I would like the app to take to my country, India. And also I want to make it to everyone, whether are they reading or not, I don't like seeing. So it's very important to read the Bible every day. Amen. And to pray to God. So today I just want to share about a disciple called Thomas. I don't want to go much more deep, but I want to give a few headlines, and I'm going to share about the video about what you saw just now about our ministry and about our country, India. So let's go to the Bible in John, the book of John. John 11th chapter from 8 to 14. We can see about Thomas there. Bible in the book of Matthew, Mark, and Luke give us nothing about Thomas. But John gave some information about Thomas. So he is also known as the first missionary in the early church. After the day of Pentecost, the gospel began to spread from Jerusalem to other parts of the world. According to tradition, Thomas took the gospel of Christ to the subcontinent of India. That's my country, India. So he is the first missionary who came to India to share the gospel. And various historical records and tradition indicate that Thomas traveled by sea to India in AD 52. He was later martyred and buried there after witnessing to the Indian people. The tomb of St. Thomas is in Mylapore, India. So, in John 11th chapter 8 to 14, we see about Thomas. In 8th verse, we see when Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go back to Judea." Then 8th verse, disciples objected. "Rabbi," they said, "only a few days ago, the people in Judea were trying to stone you. Are you going there again?" Then Jesus said, verse 15, "Come, let's go see him." But on 16th verse, we see Thomas, nicknamed the twin. He had a twin brother or sister likely. And he says to his fellow disciples, "Let's go to and die with Jesus." I just want in the Bible to underline that word. Now I see several things in that. First of all, I see a certain amount of initiative. So Thomas took initiative. Even the disciples were afraid to go with Jesus to Judea. And everyone was frightened. But at that time, Thomas took the initiative. If he has not took the initiative, then disciples have been stopped there itself. So, about Thomas, we can see he was a man of initiative. So, in the Bible, you can see in the screen also, what do you mean by initiative? Initiative means to take action, to take responsibility. That's my work. That's the initiative everyone in the church need. In the Bible, we see in 1 Samuel 17th chapter, from 45 to 51, we see about David. As a young shepherd, David took the initiative and killed this giant of the enemy Philistine army, which no one else dares to try, so that Israel will not become their captive. If David had lacked initiative, what would have happened? The outcome would have been decisively different. Because he showed initiative before and during the battle, the entire nation of Israel benefited. When the king Saul and Israelites were silent, no one is able to go and fight with Goliath, because Goliath is 9 feet 9 inches tall and a very tough man and with a very powerful fighter. So no one is able to go and fight with Goliath. At that time, David took initiative and brought a wonderful victory to Israelites. So our initiative may never be recorded in history, but doing our part to take initiative will bring benefits to the Lord and also those who impact and us. Amen. And also, I would like to see in the Bible, in the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah, 1st chapter 1 to 4. Nehemiah, 1st chapter 1 to 4. We can say, I don't have time to read every verses. I just want to give some headlines about the power to take initiative. My topic is, let us not be just still and silent in what we are, but I would like everyone to be involved in the ministry, in the work of the Lord. Amen. Here we see about Nehemiah. See, some of the men just arrived from Judah. Nehemiah asked about Jews who had returned there from captivity and about how things were going in Jerusalem. They said to him, "Things are not doing well. They are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem has been torn down, and the gates have been destroyed by fire." When he heard about that news, the Nehemiah, what he has done? He sat down and wept, fasted, and prayed to the God of heaven. He took initiative and rebuilt the walls in 52 days. Is it not amazing? If Nehemiah would not take the initiative, what would happen to Jerusalem? Nehemiah is in the safe zone. He's a cupbearer to the king. So he's a second to the king. He has property, he has wealth, he has good fame, name, everything. But he stepped out to the dangerous zone. He went to Jerusalem back and rebuild the temple and rebuild the walls of the Jerusalem. I would like you all to take part in the kingdom of God. Amen. And also in 1 Samuel 25, 1 to 12, and also 1 Samuel 25, 18 to 19, we see a family called Nabal and Abigail. Nabal was not a good man. David helped him very much. The 400 people protected their sheep. And on the fine day, David's army people went to Nabal and asked for food. Then Nabal told, "Who are you? Who is David? Who is Jesse? I don't want to give my food to the strangers." This message went to David. David was very angry. And he's running with the swords to kill all the Nabal's family. At that time, one of the servants went and told to Nabal's wife, Her name is Abigail. When she heard about that, then what she has done, immediately she took initiative. She took 5 sheaves of meat and all other things and put it on her donkey, and she went and told to David that this is my fault. Please forgive me. And that's the way she stopped the wrath coming on Nabal's family. If Abigail has not took the initiative, what would have happened to Nabal's family? I would encourage you to take part the initiative. In Luke 10th chapter 30 to 37, Luke 10, 30 to 37, we see the story of Good Samaritan. I think everyone knows from the childhood about the story of Good Samaritan. I don't need to tell about that. When Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho, he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes and left him half dead. The priest and the Levite saw the man lying there, but they crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. You know why they have been crossed away? Why they have not been able to take care of him? The reason is they don't want to part in initiative. They may have some excuses. So many of them says many excuses. If I tell them to involve in the kids ministry, to involve in the women's ministry, to involve in the prayer ministry, to involve in the mission ministry, to involve in other work, in the church work, everyone has many excuses. This priest and Levites also have some excuses. The number one excuse is, this road is too dangerous for me to stop and help the man. Because they have been already beaten, that person. Maybe if I stop here, maybe I can also be beaten. The second excuse, I have got to get to the temple and perform my service for the Lord. I have work in the temple, so I have to go there. That's the second excuse. Third excuse, maybe I have got to get home and see my family. I have to go, I have to rush to see my family. He was very much concerned to his family rather than to help that person. The fourth case excuse is someone really should help that man. Another excuse is, if I am going to serve at the temple, I can't get my clothes bloody. So with my blood, I cannot go and serve in the temple. The sixth excuse may be, I don't know first aid. I don't know how to do the first aid. Maybe another excuse, it's a hopeless case. It's a hopeless case. Another excuse, I am only one person. The job is too big. Another excuse, I can pray for him. Another excuse, he never asked for help. How can he ask help? He was fully half dead. So people, you know, rather than to take the initiative, they just start to say some excuses. Some say they are busy. You know the word means busy? B-U-S-Y. Being under Satan's yoke is busy. So for the word, for the work of the Lord, for doing God's work, never, I encourage you and I just ask you just not to do any excuse. Be available to God. That was Rose was preaching in the Hawks meeting there in the, for elderly people. That message really touched my heart. Yes, we have to be available to God. God has chosen us. There are like 7 billion people in the world. But God chosen you and me, not because we are handsome, not because we are beautiful, not because we are wealthy person, only by His grace. So we have to be a gratitude to God. Lord, what I am going to do, what I have to do. Jesus took the initiative and he came to this world to save sinners. If he has not taken initiative, what would happen to all the mankind? Everyone would perish and go to hell. Jesus took initiative to go to Samaritan place to save a Samaritan woman. Because no Jewish people never want to go to Samaritan. Because if they want to travel from Judea to Galilee, there are three ways. One way is through the Jordan River. Second way is through Perea. And third way is through Samaritan. Samaritan is the shortest way to go to Galilee from Judea. But never, the Jewish people never want to go because they don't want to mingle with them. They don't want to talk with them. They don't want to have fellowship with them. Nowadays also, we are being so busy with our own family, with our own work, and we have no time to share the gospel. We have no time to spend some time with who are in suffering, who are in illness. We have no time to visit them. We have no time to pray for them. Jesus went to Samaritan. He went before the woman has come. He was sitting there in the well. Then she is coming. See, in the VVIPs, you know, who will come first? The people come first and the dignitaries will come the last. But now we see Jesus came first and the woman is coming last. So Jesus is waiting for that woman. See the compassion, see the initiative. And Jesus is talking before she talked. Jesus making friendship with her and asking, "Would you please give me water to drink?" And Jesus went in conversation, not in argument, and speaking about, you know, the living water, the eternal life. And finally, Jesus told that, "I am the Messiah." He never revealed to his disciples. He never revealed to his priest or to the chief priest. This is the first time he revealed to the Samaritan woman. She immediately, you know, left the bucket, you know, the pot, and went and brought, you know, the people from Samaria. You know why she left the pot? The reason is, you know, she want to come back again. Then why I have to take pot again? When I come back, I can take the pot. And the second reason is that Jesus drank, you know, the water from the well. But the disciples went for food. So they came and they need water. So Samaritan woman thought, you know, when the disciples come, they may drink water from this pot in the well so that I can come back with the people. See the concern, see the initiative. So Jesus shared with one person and she brought many people. There is a slogan, each one catch one. Just remain in this year 2024, how many of you here share the gospel of Jesus Christ with others? I just want to encourage you, everyone, to be an initiative in the kingdom of God and be faithful. And when we die, and let God say, "My faithful servant, well done." Amen. Amen. You saw the video about our country, India. And I would like to share a little bit about, you know, the initiative and also about my ministry, a little bit about what's happening in India. Are you ready? India has the largest population in the world. You know, 1.4 billion population live in our country. Just now Brandon gave me a one keychain. It's like, you see, pray for India and 1.4 billion people. And we have different religions. One of the major religion in India is Hindus. We have 80.5%. And Muslims 13.5%. And Sikhs 1.8%. And Christians are just 2.5%. We do the ministry in Vijayawada, in India, South India, which is called Andhra Pradesh. So in the city Vijayawada, it's also called Bejawada. It is the second largest city in the Indian state of Andhra Pradesh. It is the fastest growing city in India and now is the capital city of our state. Vijayawada lies on the banks of Krishna River, surrounded by Indira Kiladri Hills. As you saw in the video, how high is the idol worship in my place? In India, we have 33 million gods and goddesses. And my family, my father and mother are Hindus. They used to worship idols as gods. And my father, you know, used to have a good, he worked in a big company. We had a big house. We had a good property. But there is no peace in my family at that time. One of my maid servant, we are servants in India who works in the houses. They clean vessels and do all the work. She saw my mother's condition. And she shared about Jesus to my mother. She is the one who introduced about Jesus to my mother. And through her, my mother came to know the Lord and accepted Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. Through my mother, my father came to know Jesus Christ. So, I and my brother, you know, Raj, we both raised in the Christian family in my childhood. I used to go to church every Sunday. I used to be in Sunday school. And my mother gave us the instruction that without reading 5 chapters from the Bible and 5 memory verses, there is no breakfast for both of us. So my mother is very strict in that. So I used to read and memorize the scriptures just because to get my breakfast. So in my childhood, I know the Bible very well. I had a good head knowledge, but it did not went into my heart. There is a proverb like, many will miss heaven in 12 inches. Because they are getting so much of information in the head, but it's not going into their heart. If you have a scale, you can measure from your head to heart, it's 12 inches. My heart is far away from the Lord. My life was very miserable. And I have a bad friends. And I lived my life according to the worldly desires. In front of my parents and in front of my pastor, I was a very good boy. But outside, I lived a sinful life. One day my mother told me to attend the believers' conference. And I went there because of my mother's sake. I was listening to the preacher's message. God is directly speaking to me. The word of God touched my life. I recognized that I am a sinner. And Jesus came to this world to save sinners. He died for my sins and buried and raised on the third day. I believed. I accepted Jesus Christ on the same day. As my personal Savior at the age of 15. And took baptism on the same day as a public confession that I am a child of God. After I was encountered by Jesus and accepted Him as my personal Savior, I used to share the gospel in streets and marketplaces, distributing gospel tracts house to house and praying for the sick and leading them to Christ. I thought after completing my studies, I wanted to do a job and earn money and support my parents and do the ministry part-time. But I received a higher call from God through Jeremiah 1:4-5. I waited on the Lord patiently, and I was sure of his calling in various ways. I dedicated my lives and started working with my brother at the very young age of 19. I recognized that God called me to shine the light of his love, salvation, and deliverance into the people's life so that they can be free to enjoy their God-given inheritance. Amen. There is a great miracle happened in my family. My mother, my godly mother, was suffering from uterus cancer. And it is in the final stage. Doctors said she will live just 7 days. Only 7 days. They don't know, but they are predicted for 7 days. Then I, my brother, and my father, everyone, with some of the believers, knelt down and asked God, prayed God. God, you are the God of healer. You are a God of wonders. You are a God of yesterday, today, and forever. You are the same. Lord, if it is your will, Lord, heal my mother. That's what our prayer is. And God, the long story short, God has done a great miracle in our family. My mother was completely healed. Doctors said 7 days, but she lived 23 years. Let's give a big clap offering to our Lord Jesus Christ. That made my family to surrender our lives to God. And my father, you are so dedicated, and he sold his property and gave to the ministry to do the work of the Lord. Amen. From last 26 years, I'm doing the ministry by his grace. As I was praying and fasting for many years, God told me to start work for good foundation in the year 2021 on 27th February. Our aim is to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and to conduct evangelism and church planting ministries in remote rural areas and in the poor areas of Andhra Pradesh, India. We organize gospel meetings in cities, towns, and villages. We preach the word of God and pray for the sick in these meetings. Almighty God is bringing Hindu and Muslim people and touching them in a special way. Please pray for the ministry needs. And also, please pray for the great evangelism, a great harvest to see in the kingdom of God. Amen. And the persecution, please pray, is increasing rapidly higher than before. The Hindu radicals are continuously falsely accusing Christians, beating us, destroying churches and gospel literature. They're burning the Bible. They're burning the literature. They force Christians who converted from Hinduism to return to their home. They call Ghar Wapas. Come back again to Hinduism. Our team has faced much persecution in our ministry and the needy are in Vijayawada. Please continue to remember us in your prayers. This persecution, sometimes they are indirectly attacking us, asking for prayers. Pastor, please come to pray for my mother. She was sick and she's unable to walk. If God heals her, we will come to church. So, pastor unknowingly going with them, and they were taking to the dark place and beating them with iron rods and killing the pastors and evangelists. In our country, there is another state called Manipur. They were attacked Christians. You know, I would like to say one example. In front of their husband, a Christian family, they raped her wife and took her, all her clothes, and with nakedness, they took her on the streets. And finally, they killed her. I'm pleading you to please pray for our country, that God to open their eyes and to come out from the spiritual darkness. So, Work for Good Foundation is a multifaceted ministry that reaches out to our communities with the love of God, both spiritually and physically. We reach out with the gospel of Jesus Christ through gospel meetings and also education for children and humanitarian services. As in 1 Timothy 5:3, we see, take care of any widow who has no one else to care for. You saw the widows in the video. See, some of the families, you know, the children kicked her out from the house. No place to stay also. India has 46 million widows. The largest widow population in the world. But despite their huge number, they remain one of the most neglected groups. Widows need a lot of help and support as they adjust to life without their spouse by their side. Widows in India are disowned by relatives, and many women seek informal work as domestic laborers or turn to beg or prostitution. In some cases, widows can become liable for the debts of a deceased spouse. Widows often find themselves as the victims of physical and mental violence, including sexual abuse, related to inheritance, land and property disputes. We have many widows in our churches and community, and they were suffering without proper nutrition, food, and with proper health conditions, with the poor health conditions. We are helping them with monthly groceries and medical assistance every month. We support 55 widows with 5 kilograms of rice, 1 kilogram of wheat, 1 kilogram of pulses, 1 kilogram of cooking oil, 1 kilogram of sugar, as well as salt, bath soap, detergent, and shampoo packets. Please continue to keep this woman in your thoughts and prayers as this population continues to grow. One of our church members, she's a widow, 3 children kicked her out. She was staying in a small house with a thatched building with a hut, we call it hut, with the leaves. And no power, it's there. So she was sleeping on the floor. One night, King Cobra, the snake, entered into that house. She was on the floor, and it came slowly and crawled on her stomach. She don't know what to do. She thought rat or mice. You know, when Mark was there one time, rat has come into his room. So, like that, she thought rat. But when she opened her eyes, it's a snake. She prayed and just stood up and shook her body. Immediately it went away. With her eyes, with rolling tears, she shared this testimony. And immediately we brought a cot and gave to her. And we're planning and praying and asking God to build a widow home, like a quarters for them to stay peacefully and live their end life and to worship God and to be peaceful in their lives. So please pray for the widows in our country. And finally, we do free tutoring and meals for needy children in the slums. Our main focus about the children in the slums. Poor Indian children frequently skip school because they have to work to provide for their families. Without education, these children's lives have no purpose and no hope for the future. The purpose of free tutoring in the slums is to show the love of Christ and to glorify God and to make difference in at least one child. To give children a chance to hear the gospel so that many children will accept Jesus as their personal savior. And to help these children finish school so they can continue their education. And through these children, we are reaching the parents to share the gospel. We are tutoring and feeding children 6 days a week. We have 40 children in the slums. Please join us in praying that the Lord will provide the funds to expand this outreach. I have two children. My wife is Pratibha, and she involves in the personal evangelism. And my elder daughter, she is doing her bachelor in dental science. And younger, her name is Angel. This is my family. You can see my family. So Angel, she finished her bachelor in biotechnology. And she has to go to abroad to study much more. But God told to her, you stop your education. It's enough, the bachelor. And God told her to do tutoring for the children in the slums. So she teaches English to them. And she works 6 days a week. And we provide a meal for 40 children 6 days a week. So I just ask you to pray for the gospel work, for the widows in our communities, and also for the children education and tutoring in the slums. So please pray and join our monthly team right now, if God speaks to you, to help these widows and children and the gospel work. Amen. We need $5,900 a month to do all this work. I was praying to God, and I'm asking God to provide. We have less resources. But I believe maybe half of the support may come from New Vision Church. Amen. Amen. If someone can, you know, take a commitment to support a $50 a month or $100 a month or maybe $200 or maybe $500, $1,000 a month, that will be a great blessing to our ministry. We would greatly appreciate your generous support of this vital ministry to the needy in India. In our regional language in Telugu, there is a proverb which says, if an elephant drops a little food while taking into his mouth, that food is enough for thousands of ants. I would like you to be, there's a great power in giving. I you to contribute for this wonderful ministry in India. You can contribute online through Harvesters International. You can just see the address, the Harvesters International. And I thank Hal and also Doug and my brother Raj for making me to be in the part of Harvesters. So when you go to Harvesters, harvesters.net, and when you go for Zion Assembly Church, there when you scroll down, you can see Pastor Ravi and Work for Good Foundation. And when you go there, you can see me, and then you can click there and you can be like a monthly supporter for our ministry, or maybe a special gift to our ministry. You have done a great thing till now for our ministry. I appreciate it, but I would like you to do much more in the coming days. I would like, you know, you can give us check like Harvesters International, and you can include a note that your gift is for Pastor Ravi's ministry. We will send you the newsletters specially for you and the work, what is going. We send you the pictures, and I would like you to pray now, and if God leads you, ask you to do it now. Amen. And if you want to see the photos and videos of how your gifts have been used, please visit our Facebook page, www.facebook.com/Ravi Lokesh Kumar. If you go there, and in all information is in the brochure. You have brochure, you have information there. And we have a website, www.workforgoodindia.org. Thank you once again for the opportunity and love you have shown to me and to my ministry. You have been so gracious for giving your valuable time and attention to listen and to watch the video and also the message and also about the testimony of our ministry. Thank you for being part of building God's kingdom in India. Amen. Amen. So let's pray together. Let's all stand and let's pray and ask God for take the initiative. You know, the servant in our house took initiative and shared the gospel to my mother. That is the reason God, through her, my whole family came to know Jesus Christ. And the whole family is a great blessing to many people. I like you to just be a part in the kingdom of God, to take initiative, to give your valuable time to do the work of the Lord. In the world, there is so much of suffering going on. Let's give time and just spend time with them, listen to them, pray to them, give some counsel to them, and share the gospel. I would like everyone to just pray. And if God leads for this wonderful ministry of Work for Good Foundation, that what we are doing for the gospel work, we need much more equipments like sound system, lighting, the vehicle for the ministry. For the widows, groceries, every month we need thousands and thousands of dollars. We need for the children's education and also for their feeding program. If the Holy Spirit speaks to you right now, don't say no. Yes, I want to support Ravi's ministry. I want to support the work going in India. I want to take a oath now, right now.
Thank you for listening. To learn more about us, please visit our website at newvisionc.com and our socials at New Vision Church and NVC Next Gen. Just look for the round broken V logo and we'll see you soon. God bless.